corner. But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello and welcome to another edition of FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
Today we're going to start with talking about West Ham United. They have been hit with a couple more losses. Having already lost Manuel Lanzini, Marco Arnautovic, and Andy Carroll to long-term injuries, they've had two more join the list after the FA Cup weekend. I guess we're going to start with the suspension to Arthur Masuaku. Chuck, I've seen the replay. I'm sure you saw it. I'm speechless on why he did that.
Yeah, it's a fucking disgrace. Like, there's few things that you just can't justify. And, like, spitting and biting are just things where you're like, how can you really justify saying that that's something that you can do in a game? And even like David Moyes saying like he's remorseful, it's like, no, he's not.
So for those of you who aren't familiar, West Ham were defeated by League One leaders Wigan over the weekend in the FA Cup, and Masuaku was sent off in the second half for a spitting incident after an off-ball incident where he spit on former Manchester United midfielder Nick Pope. As you can, from the replay, it was terrible. I mean, there's no need for spitting. I'm not sure why this has become a go-to thing to settle disputes on the pitch. And I was saying earlier that, honestly, headbutting is more justified than spitting on someone.
Yeah. There's nothing to defend him on this. And honestly, 6 games is too short for this suspension.
Yeah, so if you are a Masuaku owner, you're going to need to be looking for a replacement. And I guess before we get to that, we'll talk about the other injury. Pedro Obiang was stretchered off in the first half for West Ham, so he could be missing some time. Not exactly sure how long that's going to be, but it puts him in doubt for the midweek match against Crystal Palace. So I guess to circle back to the Masuaku, if you owned him in OFPL or play Taga, Chuck, is there anyone specific that you'd be looking to bring in?
Well, number one, because if you own him, you're obviously looking for a defender on the cheap. So I'd be looking to bring in Bauer of Stoke.
Yeah, so right now Bauer's available, 4.5 million in OFPL. He's 2% selected in play Taga. He's owned in 3% of leagues, so he's a good alternative in both leagues. I guess what's your appeal outside of price for him?
Well, so there's the fact that Stoke does look like they're going to be actually a little more solid at the back. He has a world-class goalkeeper behind him in Jack Butland, and he bombs forward to join the attack. So he'll end up picking up a couple of assists too.
Yeah, so if you're looking at their fixtures, the run-in, they got Watford at home, then they play Bournemouth away, home against Brighton, away at Leicester City, away at Southampton. So that is a really good run of matches to have, specifically looking at the clean sheet perspective in OFPL. I guess we kind of glazed over him. I know we talked about it before, but Lanzini, he's looking 4 to 6 weeks. Arnautovic could be as long as 3. Although there's a chance he could be back early. Are you looking at Potters to potentially slot in for those two, or are there guys elsewhere you would want to look at?
Well, I'd be looking... One guy I'd be looking to add, still staying with Stoke, is Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, because at 5.4 and having returned 88 points on the year, like, he's a very good budget option, especially if you're someone that's trying to fit Sergio Aguero into their team alongside Harry Kane for the run-in?
Yeah, I actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually made a transfer before we started recording. I brought in Choupo-Moting, and I brought in just a dead defender to replace Masuaku and Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who had been kind of sitting on my bench. I think the run of matches is just extremely appealing. Well, I wanted Shaqiri. Shaqiri is $6 million. So that 0.6 that I saved allowed me to bring him in. The Potters are interesting, though. They got the boost with Lambert. Do you see them? I guess, are you believing in Lambert now? Are you a believer in the Potters?
No, but just the bottom half of the Premier League is utter shit. So them playing against those teams, it's like, what do they have to lose? Like, you have Huddersfield hemorrhaging goals, Swansea can't score, Palace is either like watertight or the Titanic, depending on the day. So it's really, what's the flavor of the month? And right now, I guess it's Stoke.
Yeah, and if you look at it from West Ham to Stoke, West Ham's in 11th, Stoke's in 17th, but the gap's only 3 points. It's remarkable. In 11th, essentially, you got Swansea, they're on 20 points, and Everton is in 9th, and they're on 28. I mean, right now, it's a total crapshoot.
Yeah, it really is just like, throw things at the wall and see what sticks if you're playing anyone who's in the bottom of the table, which is why they're a lot more useful in Taga than they are in OFPL, because a lot of times you'll just want to add someone right before kickoff because you've been kicking the tires on them, as opposed to needing to deal with lineup locks.
Yeah, one of the other guys to look at, I guess, for if you need to bring in a defender and play Taga, Ryan Shawcross. I brought him in last week, and I mean, he was phenomenal. He put up 25 points.
Kurt,
he
won Zouma.
Shawcross won 16 aerials last week.
Kurt Zuma's been doing that like every week, and he also put up 20 plus points last week.
So while I do like Zouma ahead of him, Zouma is owned in 55% of leagues, while Shawcross is owned in 36. So
I mean, Zouma should be owned in 95% of leagues, and I still don't understand how low his ownership is. Same with Butland, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's him, Butland, and Zouma have both shared in the just inconsistency of that entire defense with conceding goals, because, you know, Butland's put up a ton of saves lately, and now the points are starting to stack up. But, you know, earlier in the season when they were conceding three or four goals a game and Butland wasn't really having an opportunity to make those saves, it's really hit his points for match average. I mean, right now, over the last three matches, he's averaging roughly 9 points. On the season, he's about 5. I think it'll be towards 7. Maybe 7.5 when this season wraps up.
Looking at the stats, in close to half of the game weeks this year, and also considering Zouma did not play in 4 game weeks this year, Zouma has scored 8 points or higher, with double digits in 7.
So let's see. Would you rather have, if you're looking to, let's say you've been relying on Masuaku in defense, you're looking to add someone rest of the season, would you rather have Kurt Zouma or Chris Mullin?
I'd go Zouma just because eventually Chris Mullin's likely going to lose his spot if Eric Bailly recovers.
Okay, so Smalling's owned in 57% of leagues. Zouma, as I said, 55. I'll look at someone who's a little bit more available. Would you rather have Andrew Robertson or Kurt Zouma?
Again, Robertson's going to lose his place because Moreno's coming back. So still sticking with Kurt Zouma. The big thing is the fact that Stoke can give up 4 goals and Kurt Zouma will still be in the positive points, just because of the fact that he wins so many aerials and makes so many clearances per game.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of ceiling, I think Zouma probably has a higher ceiling. I like Shawcross just because, A, he's owned in a little bit less leagues, but I think you know what you're going to be getting with him every week. I mean, he's averaging roughly 9 points on the season, but if you look at his last run of matches, he's pretty much been putting up 7 points or 12 points outside of his big week last week. So I think, like Chuck said, Zouma, my opinion, Shawcross, both are good guys to look at if you need to add a defender. And then, I mean, in OFPL, they're not, both those guys aren't as appealing. I mean, would you be interested in, let's see, Shawcross for 4.8 in OFPL and Zuma for 5.4?
I mean, again, OFPL is where I'm the only person I consider is Bauer, just because of the fact that for 4.8 and 5.4, that's really not worth it. And honestly, 5.4 is way overpriced for Zuma in OFPL.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it right now, that puts him 0.3 less than Phil Jones, who is in the top five for defenders right now.
Yeah, and like, Kurt Zuma's good. He ain't that good.
Yeah, I mean, for that price, it doesn't really make sense in OFPL, just because, I mean, that places him, he's one less, he's 0.1 less than Virgil van Dijk, who,
yeah,
I mean, he needs time to acclimate, but in terms of returns from clean sheets and attacking options, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting why I guess he's priced that high.
Has to be the Chelsea pedigree. I can't understand any other reason why he'd be priced that high.
Yeah, because that puts him on the same level as Marcus Rojo, Matip, and John Stones. So, yeah, that's the only thing I can.
I can get Harry Maguire for 0.1 more.
Yeah, who's a stud. Future anchor of England's back line.
The team of all the Harrys.
So I guess we'll talk about a player who's going to be moving to a new club now. It seemed like today's kind of been the theme of talking about teams in the bottom half. We're going to be talking to a team in the relegation zone now. Daniel Sturridge looks set to be joining West Brom.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I woke up this morning, it looked like Daniel Sturridge would be set to join Newcastle. And then he was supposed to show up for his Newcastle medical, and it seems like West Brom has hijacked the loan.
Yeah, from what I saw, he's set to join West Brom on loan. The deal could be concluded before the end of Tuesday. So, I mean, he could be in action. Yeah, he could be in action for this week. I mean, everyone kind of knows Sturridge. Scores goals when he's fit, gets hurt a lot, a lot of promise, but has really just not been able to hit his potential.
The big thing is, like, am I high on Daniel Sturridge if I actually have good forward options in my Toga leagues? No. But if I need a punt forward, you can do a lot worse than Daniel Sturridge, considering the kind of service that West Brom can provide in the box.
Yeah, I think another thing to consider too, something that, I mean, I guess technically it's the case with Walcott too. I mean, you got these guys who are on the fringe of being in contention for making the World Cup squad, which would likely for both of them be one of their later ones. I mean, Sturridge is, I think he's 20. I don't know how old their Sturridge is now, but I know Walcott's like 28 or 29. These guys need to have an unreal second half to be considered by Southgate. I wouldn't go ahead and like trade for Sturridge if he's owned in your league, but if you can add him, I don't see why you wouldn't. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and Sturridge is 28. So yes, he's let's be real, in like actual years, Sturridge is like 35.
Yeah. I would say right now Sturridge probably has the same body, the same durability as Peter Crouch.
Unfortunately, you're probably about right.
Yeah. I mean, then you look at West Brom right there, sitting in 19th. They've only scored 19 goals this season, which is third lowest in the league, even with Huddersfield Town. When Lukaku went there on loan a couple years ago, he did pretty good. He's turned out pretty good. I mean, I don't think Sturridge is going to have that kind of a resurgence where, you know, he'll hit the form that we've always thought he's had from his younger days. But in terms of a punt for the rest of the season, I mean, I think he's a safer bet than some of the forwards who are going to be coming in from other leagues where we really don't know how they'll hold up with the style of Premier League play.
Agreed. I canceled one of my waiver claims for a forward coming in from another league as soon as I saw that Daniel Sturridge may be moving.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one worry, as always, is with the injuries. I mean, he picked one up in early December, and he's been out of action for quite a bit. Or has he? Did he? Has he come back into the team? I don't even know.
He's been relatively healthy this year. It's just the fact that, like, he hadn't really produced, and he doesn't work with the Liverpool defensive setup. So it's like, why are they going to play him? Also, considering that Firmino is in the form of a lifetime right now.
Yeah, he's been out since December. He hasn't appeared in a league match since week 14. And on the season right now, he's got 2 goals from his time. I think he only got 2 starts this season too. So, but I mean, he's coming into a club that's desperate for goals and needs goals to stay up. So the opportunity is there. I'm assuming he's going to come in, and Jay Rodriguez will keep his place, and he'll probably come in for Rondon.
Well, Jay Rodriguez should actually move to his weird floaty role, and not actually be a target forward, which will be nice because J-Rod is not a target forward, and Solomon Rondon is just garbage.
Yeah, I like the move, arrival of Sturridge, if he can stay fit. Yeah, I mean, I think the arrival of Sturridge, it's only going to do good things. How do you think it's going to change their tactical approach? I mean, I'm assuming Rondon's going to be the odd man out and Sturridge will come in. Do you see it affecting Chris Brunt, Jay Rodriguez, more so Rodriguez positionally?
I mean, it can only affect them well because Jay Rodriguez will be able to play in a more natural position, and Chris Brunt will have someone where that can actually do things with the service that he provides, because Rondon is only above average when heading the ball, whereas a fully healthy Daniel Sturridge is a very good Premier League forward.
Yeah, and even over the weekend, Liverpool, when they were defeated by West Brom in the FA Cup, Rodriguez scored those 2 quick goals inside 12 minutes to set them on their way. Chris Brunt also got an assist. Yeah, I mean, in terms of what you're looking for in a punch striker, I mean, Sturridge fits the mold.
Yep. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. All right, now it's time to take a look at what we got in store for game week 25. The first match we're going to be talking about is Swansea versus Arsenal. Renato Sanchez still going to be missing for Swansea, although that's pretty much irrelevant when it comes to fantasy. For Arsenal, Olivier Giroud is expected to return to the squad, but Danny Welbeck will miss out.
Also, Giroud doesn't really matter when he's involved in the current Arsenal transfer roundabout.
That's fair. Mkhitaryan's available. You think he's going to get a start?
I'd like to think that he's going to get a start. I mean, I'm not going to touch him in OFPL until I've actually seen him play for Arsenal. But whether he starts or not, I'd still consider starting him in Toga leagues because he's a guy that even if he only gets 30 minutes in this game can still do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the player ownership in Toga for Arsenal, the only guys you would have in the potential streaming area based on ownership, you got Iwobi at 46%, Jack Wilshere at 53%. Would you be interested in either of those guys if you need a final midfielder?
I mean, for Wilshere, you're kind of waiting to see if he actually plays because Aaron Ramsey's returning to health and could be in line for a start in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Iwobi's an interesting option just because, as we said, we're not sure how they're going to line up, but there's probably a bigger chance he gets a start than Mkhitaryan does. Especially with the match at the weekend.
Yeah, it's probably about a 50-50 toss-up between the two right now.
So, I mean, it'd be a risky move, but Iwobi at 5.1 million if you're looking to make a cheeky OFPL. You don't think so?
No.
2 thumbs down?
If I had 3, I'd give it 3.
I mean, he scored in the rout at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, but it's Crystal Palace. Like, Swansea actually has a good defense.
Anyone you're interested from Swansea?
Outside of Fabianski? Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, the players are available, but...
Doesn't mean they're worth using.
Yeah, I mean, potentially... No, not even.
No.
I was going to say, I'm not even going to go there.
You're already pulling at straws at this point. It's already done.
So I'm going to go with 3-0 Arsenal.
I'm going to go with 4-1 again, just because I still don't see Arsenal keeping a clean sheet in this one. The issue is, like, picking on who's going to score the goal for Swansea is just blindly throwing at a dartboard.
Exactly. Moving on to the next match, West Ham taking on Crystal Palace. West Ham are hampered by injuries, the only new developments being Mikel Antonio and Jose Fonte. While they're going to miss out, they could be back sooner than later. As for Palace, they've received a triple boost with Diafara Sakho, Joel Ward, and Kabai all coming back into contention after injury layoffs.
Yeah, I'm taking a route for Palace here.
Okay. So, with that said, let's play a little who would you rather on the waiver wire. For Crystal Palace, defenders.
James already Tompkins, brought in Mamadou Sakho.
Mamadou Sakho, of course. Any interest in the other Sakho?
No, because I just can't get around to him actually being good. Like, I understand that he's done a few things in his limited starts, but I think you're more just playing with fire the longer you keep starting him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have pick him up and be relying on him too much unless, you know, you have a matchup like this against a depleted West Ham. He does have a couple goals lately. He's created a couple chances, and he does have pace on the wing. So there's always the potential for those peripheral numbers. But, I mean, you can do better than him, but at the same time, you know, he's shown enough life where you could justify starting him as a fifth midfielder in a 12-team league if you're desperate.
Yeah, I'd have to be pretty desperate to start him.
With West Ham, we could be seeing the debut of Yao Mario after he joined on loan from Inter Milan. He never really settled in Italy. He's kind of known for his creating goals ability from his time at Sporting. If you're in a 12-team league and you're looking to pick up a midfielder, is he someone you're thinking about?
If I have a waiver that is sixth or lower, yes, because there's still a lot going on and there's a better waiver claim, in my opinion, for 12-team leagues coming a little later. But if you have a higher waiver, you're kind of waiting to see how this Aubameyang nonsense shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, I said in my column today that pretty much if you were in a deeper league and you need a midfielder who's going to have a clear shot at significant minutes coming in because he plays an attacking role and Lanzini's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, he could be worth a look. But then again, you know, it's definitely a risk just because he was out of form at Inter and he's going to need some time to adjust to the Premier League.
Yeah, but the waiver wire in general is a crapshoot because in reality, who has actually transferred into the Premier League so far this window and been useful?
That's a fair point. Moving on to the next match, Huddersfield Town taking on Liverpool. The Terriers limp in, having conceded 11 goals in their last six matches. In terms of Liverpool, they're going to be without Adam Lallana again and Ragnar Klavan, but Jordan Henderson could potentially make a league start.
The time for holding Adam Lallana on my bench is now over as he has been dropped from my team.
In the captain debate, Salah versus Firmino,
I mean,
who would you go with if those were your two options?
I don't own Salah, so I'd go with Firmino.
Yeah, see, I got Salah and Firmino. I'm leaning towards Salah. Potentially could throw the C on Raheem Sterling against West Brom.
See, the interesting thing is due to Salah's high ownership, if Firmino even does slightly better than him, that's a huge deal in ranks.
Yeah, and then on the flip side, though, if Salah scores a brace and gets an assist, then, I mean, you're foregoing a ton of ground to everyone who I'm assuming is probably ahead of me. Maybe not ahead of you because you're pretty high up there.
I mean, at my point, I kind of have to make weird decisions. So, because no matter what, I've just been looking straight at red arrows recently.
I guess with Henderson, if he's owned in 46% of Toggle leagues, if he's available when the lineups comes out and he's in the starting 11, what size league would you consider adding and starting him in?
None, because he has less upside than Emre Can. Like, the issue is Henderson's floor is probably about 6 points, but his ceiling's only like 8 points. So, like, in reality, what are you really getting out of him in a Toggle league?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're banking on, you would be banking on him get, creating a couple chances and getting an assist.
Yeah, which he doesn't do.
Which he doesn't do. You know, in his last couple of matches when he started, I think he had like 9.6, like 10 and 11.5. So you're right about his ceiling. Is there anyone out? I'm trying to look at Liverpool. There's not.
Unfortunately, Liverpool's ownership has climbed super high. The interesting thing is really just looking at what's going on with left back with Moreno coming back. Because if he's fully healthy, he should start. And if not starting this game, he'll start their game over on the weekend and be set for a very high upside return.
Yeah, Moreno's available in 28% of leagues, while Robertson, who's sitting in the starting position right now just because the injury, is owned in 44%. So I'm assuming those numbers will probably flip-flop once Moreno's back in the starting 11.
Yeah, that's probably about right, and I will probably be making that shift in my actual OFPL side too as a Robertson owner.
Yeah, and Huddersfield, I mean, there's nothing really to look at. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't have confidence against them, against Liverpool.
Yeah, there's no one that's startable on Huddersfield right now.
Yeah, even though they're playing at home, I mean, I could maybe see them scoring a goal, which would put, I guess, DePortra in play, but I don't have enough confidence in that to start him in Toga, or let alone even consider him for OFPL.
Yeah. Things are bad because they're kind of hurtling toward what we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year, and that's prime relegation candidates.
Yeah, I mean, they've been real bad lately, and now they're only 2 points above the drop zone. Although it is such a crapshoot that, you know, if they pick up a win from their next couple of matches, they'll go up to being, could potentially be in the top half, even though that there's no leeway really.
Yeah, the top half is a kind of farcical thing this year. Like, really, if you're outside the top seven, you're a relegation candidate.
Yeah. Moving on to the next match, Southampton will be playing Brighton. Ryan Bertrand and new signing Andre Carrillo will both be game-time decisions for the Saints. As for Brighton, new striker Jurgen Locazio will not be in action. Probably won't be fit until February after coming in with a hamstring injury. Meanwhile, Leonardo Alua, who signed on loan from Leicester City, is expected to be in the squad.
This is the nice game of start your defenders.
Yeah, in terms of Southampton, I like them better, obviously, because they're at home. You have Yoshida in 52% of leagues and Suarez 39% with higher ownership. Any thoughts? You know, I think Yoshida is probably the one to look at if you're going to stream.
Yeah, because like, while you usually would like Suarez's attacking returns, again, I don't see Southampton actually scoring a goal, so that kind of negates them.
Yeah, I like James Ward-Prowse in this one. Since he moved back to playing on the right side of midfield, he's been averaging like 11 points per match, creating a ton of chances, whipping in a ton of crosses. I like him from the midfield. Is there anyone else from Southampton or from Brighton, for that matter, that you would consider in the midfield to stream?
Not really. Their streaming options are kind of bad for both teams.
Yeah, and in defense for Brighton, obviously Duffy, but he's owned in 74%. And then there's Dunk, who's available in almost 80% of leagues.
Yeah, I still don't get why Dunk's ownership is so low. Like, I know he had his howler earlier in the year when he was just scoring own goals for fun, but basically he's been point for point on par with Duffy recently.
Yeah, the problem with his is game week 13 when he had the own goal against Manchester United, and then he had the own goal against Liverpool. Across those matches, he put up, he lost like 21 points, and that's kind of really damaged his per match average.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're looking at the waiver, if you're looking to add a defender, and you see right there, okay, he's averaging 5.6 points per match.
That's when you kind of have to look a little bit past what the actual match averages are. Because if you look and you're like, wait, since game week 14, he's been really around the 6 or 7 point range. That's much better than like, oh, he has like 5 negative performances this year.
The other guy I would consider looking at, I own him in a 12-team league, is goalkeeper Matt Ryan for Brighton.
Yeah, it's just he's not available in a ton of Toga leagues right now.
At least if you're in a competitive 12-team league, he's not going to be there. If you're in a 10-team league, though, you might be able to get him off the wire.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I think that's pretty much on there. Is anyone else or anything else of note?
I mean, we've already spent too much time on a game that's probably going to not have any scoring.
A game that should have goals in it, Chelsea versus Bournemouth, Cesc Fabregas, David Luiz, Willian, Alvarado Morata, and Courtois are all in doubt. So this is definitely a game to check the lineups, as we could potentially see Ross Barkley or Danny Drinkwater in the 11 for Chelsea.
But you're not going to see Charlie Musonda because he's went on loan to Celtic.
I guess from Chelsea's perspective, I'm assuming they're going to get goals. I like Batshuayi. He's available in – he's owned in only 36% of leagues in Toga. I wouldn't touch him in OFPL just because he's a plug-in with Morata out. Who do you like, I guess, the most in this for Chelsea outside of Hazard?
The defense. Because the Chelsea defense has been just extremely steady on keeping clean sheets, even when they shouldn't this year. And so it's just like, I will line up their defenders and pray to God that I actually get those nice clean sheet returns.
Yeah, Chelsea has kept 6 clean sheets in their last 7 home matches. In terms of Bournemouth, I have been big on Ryan Fraser. I know you've been big on Jordan Ibe. Obviously, downgrading them this week, but moving forward, I do like them looking at Bournemouth's upcoming run of matches.
Yeah, it's just unfortunately when you're a mid-table team coming against a team like Chelsea, usually you're not going to have very many startable fantasy assets that week.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking to stream, I would stay away. But if you can add a midfielder and afford to hold him this week, like I said, I think Ibe's owned in more than 50% of leagues, but Fraser, he's owned in only 28%. Stanislas is owned in only 12%. So those are two guys to keep an eye on.
Well, Stanislas will have a muscle injury by waking up and getting out of bed. So there's that too.
Speaking of injuries, Seamus Coleman is expected to be back in the squad for Everton when they face Leicester City. The Foxes will be without Wes Morgan, but besides that, they have a close to completely healthy squad. I guess before we talk a little bit about the match, Jonjo Kenny looks like he's probably going to be dethroned from the starting 11. Are you interested in adding Seamus Coleman in Toga leagues? Yeah. And for that matter, what are your thoughts on him in OFPL?
If I have Kenny, I'm definitely looking to add Coleman now because it's going to be a lot harder to get Coleman on that day when he actually makes his return to the starting 11. And he will get his spot back because he's a top-tier left back. In OFPL, it's a little tougher because you want to see two or three games out of him. And there's also the fact that I just don't really trust Everton's OFPL prospects very much in general right now, too.
Yeah, I mean, I added Coleman, I think, 2 weeks ago in a 12-team league just to kind of stash him. But in terms of OFPL at 6.4 million, that price is just too high to pay for a guy who's not even going to be, he's not even going to have like a 50-50 shot in most games at a clean sheet, at least given their current form.
Yeah, the premium defender price tag without being a premium defender.
And then obviously Vardy and Mahrez are in play. Iheanacho has been great in the cup. I still don't see him getting back in the team. You had their new signing, Diabate, also scored two goals, but I don't think either of them have done enough to really push their way into the league first team.
Yeah.
I guess another guy potentially on the fringe, Mark Albrighton, has been good lately, and at 5.6 million, you'd be banking on an assist, but if you wanted to cut a little bit of money, I guess, and pick someone from a team who you assume is going to win.
But you have Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for that same price tag.
That's a good point. I didn't realize that. I feel like he's due for a price rise.
I don't know why his price hasn't risen yet. I mean, I know it will. I got him in my team at 5.6, so at this point, it can go and rise the maximum 0.3 in a game week for all I care.
Yeah, he's up to 5.7. He got added by little more than 100,000 people.
That's
for
it.
Last game week. Yeah.
Interesting.
Although, I mean, that's looking at game week 24, so I'm assuming it'll be more for this week.
Yeah, I'd like to think that more people are going to play a 5.7 midfielder that is probably going to start most of the games on a top four team.
Yeah, that would make sense. Moving on to the next match, Newcastle host Burnley. Newcastle will be without Rob Elliott, although new signing Kennedy, who joined on loan from Chelsea, could potentially make his debut. As for Burnley, they'll be without Chris Wood. Aaron Lennon is expected to be in the squad, though. All I really have to say about this is Johan Gudmundsen-Berg.
And start your defenders.
Start your defenders.
Because, like, while I hate the prospects of owning Newcastle players overall, it's not like Burnley's going to score a goal.
Yeah, and if they do score, it's going to come through Gudmundsen-Berg in some capacity. And I like to mention him just because at 5 million for OFPL, he's probably the most appealing priced midfielder in that range. I mean, he's level with Ashley Young and James Ward-Prowse.
I'll come back to you on that one later.
I feel like that really covers everything. Not expecting too many goals in this, so that obviously puts Nick Pope and Carl Darlow in play, although I would 100% favor Pope over Darlow.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with Burnley coming back to earth, that also has meant that Pope's come back to earth. So he's hasn't really been great lately, but I guess you're just hoping that there's still some magic left there.
Yeah, and with Tom Heaton slowly but surely coming back to fitness, Pope's going to need to find that form, this prior form, in order to stave him off. Although I have a feeling that Heaton will get back in the first team once he's ready.
Yeah, no, definitely it's Heaton will come back before he's likely eventually sold in the summer.
Moving on to the next match, Manchester City host West Brom. Leroy Sané is the big injury issue. According to Pep Guardiola, he's going to be out for a while after being on the receiving end of that nasty challenge in the FA Cup win.
Be like me. Grab Bernardo Silva if you still can.
Yeah, Silva obviously in play Taga if he's available in OFPL, available for 7.4 million. He's got 2 goals and 4 assists in a little under 700 minutes. His prospects look really bright against West Brom, so if you have him, I would use him. Would you recommend bringing him in for your OFPL side?
I mean, it depends. Like if, because like at this point, you probably already have 3 City players in your OFPL side, and like I can't really say that I could recommend getting off of one of them to bring him in.
So if you own, if you're looking for a midfielder in the 7 to 7.5 range, I mean, I like the looks of him. Personally, I own Sterling, and that's the only share of Man City I have right now.
I have Sterling and Otamendi.
Votamendi, yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't go over the top. I wouldn't quadruple on City, but, I mean, he's someone to think about just because the potential for goals and assists is 100% there.
Oh, yeah, definitely, just as it is with any player on Manchester City.
And then West Brom, not really nothing in the side for me this week. Obviously, Chris Brunt's always a shout in good matchups, but this is not one.
Yeah. In Taga Leagues, you're adding the new West Brom striker, Daniel Sturridge. See if there's still some life left in those legs.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on him for the rest of the season?
I mean, I don't like him particularly, but forward is so shallow that I think it hurts more to not take a punt on him than it does to take one.
Yeah, I mean, they have their upcoming matches. They have City, then they're home against Southampton at Chelsea, then they got Huddersfield at Watford. So, I mean, there's 3 appealing fixtures in there for him.
Yeah, it could definitely it'll definitely be interesting. Again, I just don't I can't really rate someone that spends more than half their time on the bench or the treatment table.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about him the competition for minutes just because Rondon is not very good. And
yeah.
Sturridge offers what Rondon is not very good at, which is goal scoring.
Yes.
But enough about West Brom. Going to move on to Stoke City versus Watford. Stoke City manager Paul Lambert, we're expecting to stick with his starting 11 from the win over Huddersfield Town. Meanwhile, Watford new boss Javier Garcia comes in with a depleted squad, the only update being Tom Cleverley could potentially return.
Now, let's roll back to that 5.0 midfielder discussion here. While it's a little higher than 5.0, Stoke has really 2 options in this field. And number one is Joe Allen at 5.1, who scored a beautiful goal in Stoke's 2-0 win. And then number two is Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting at 5.4.
I brought in Choupo-Moting this week. I'm expecting good returns from him this match. And then with Bournemouth, Brighton, Leicester, Southampton in their next 4 matches after this one, I think it's a good move to make, mainly to save budget and just because he's been their best scoring threat this season.
Yeah, Stoke fixtures are tasty right now.
I wanted to bring in Shaqiri, but at $6 million, it was too expensive. If you're looking to add a guy, I guess, in the $6 million range and you, for some reason, don't want Choupo-Moting, would you recommend Shaqiri, or do you think it's better to go
with... I can't recommend Shaqiri with him being 0.6 more than Choupo-Moting and only having scored 1 more point. And this, the interesting thing is this is also considering Choupo-Moting has been rotated this year while Shaqiri has not.
Yeah. At the back, Ryan Shawcross is now fit. He's available in the majority of Taga leagues. I like him. I know you love Kurt Zouma.
That is correct. He is a member of my favorite streaming pair, a streaming pair that combined for 37.5 points last week, and that is Zouma and Jack Butland.
Yeah, Shawcross did relatively good too. He had 25 points. And like them against Watford just because they're depleted and we don't really know what we're going to get with their new manager.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I guess before we move on, Gerard Deulofeu has come in. Is he someone you're considering putting a waiver claim in for?
Again, if I have a mid-tier waiver, then like I don't see why not to look at him. It'll definitely be interesting to see what happens just because of the fact that he doesn't have much of an end product, but in Taga, you don't need to score to be useful to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to put the crosses in. He's going to do well in successful take-ons. I like him. I know he's just so heavily dependent on having better players around him. That's what worries me a little bit at Watford.
Yeah, but at Watford, his actual role is really just to take pressure off of Richarlison.
Yeah, it's going to be to run straight down the wing and do a bunch of stepovers.
Yep, he's not actually coming here to do things.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Stoke City in this one. I want to say they're going to get a clean sheet. I'm going to say they're going to win 1-0. Hopefully I won't have to eat my words.
I'm going to say 2-1 because I do think that Watford has a goal in them.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could see that. Watford have just been so out of sorts.
And, of course, I'm saying this as I'm adding Jack Butland to my OFPL team. So, yeah, there's that.
All right, moving on to the last match, the premium clash of game week 25. Tottenham will be taking on Manchester United at Wembley. This is going to be a hard-fought match. I think it's going to end in a draw.
Yeah, it's tough to see it ending any other way, honestly. While I'd like to think that Spurs will hold their ground and come up with a much-needed win at home, considering that they really need all 3 points in this one, it's going to be tough to call anything but a draw against United.
Yeah, I mean, the thing working in United's favor, obviously, looking at the current table, is that they can afford to take a point from this match. Spurs need a win because I know they have a tough run of fixtures coming up.
Yes, it is quite the gauntlet coming up that includes basically the entire top four.
And then Champions League.
Yeah, good old Juventus.
I want to bring in Sanchez, but I do not have enough funds, and I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to blow up your entire team?
Yeah, not for this week, but just for the rest of the season, because that combination with Pogba is going to be absolutely lethal.
Which, I mean, I have Pogba in my OFPL team, so I'm going to be in that nice point where, like, I have to kind of hope that Pogba does something, but not enough that Spurs lose.
Yeah, and I mean, with Spurs, there's not really too much to talk about in terms of changes to their starting 11. Serge Aurier is injury doubt, so that kind of takes care of the fullback dilemma. For United, though, who do you think is going to make way for Sanchez?
I'm thinking it's going to be Lingard.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Martial stays in the 11. With Mourinho, you never know, but Lingard, I guess, would be the natural guy to take a seat for now, just because he's cooled off a bit after his hot run.
Yes.
So I guess, I mean, from a Tigers perspective, you're kind of starting everyone who you'd normally be starting. Is there anyone, I guess, who you would classify maybe as under the radar who would have good value in this match, or do you think it's kind of just all the names you
Moussa Dembele.
Dembele.
Because he's a tank that completes dribbles and does not get dispossessed, which means he can usually get around 10 points without getting any attacking returns.
Yeah, he's available in 44% of Taga leagues right now. I guess the one question would be, Wanyama versus Dyer in the midfield.
I'm hoping Wanyama starts because I'm more confident in Spurs winning if Wanyama starts.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of that, I don't think there's really anything. Eriksen and Lloris, I'm assuming, will be back.
I mean, thanks to the actual injuries to Serge Aurier and Danny Rose, meaning there's going to be no fullback rotation, you can basically cut and paste the Spurs team.
Yeah, I know Alderweireld's rejoined the group, but I doubt he'll be back in the starting 11 for another week or two.
Yeah, he'll be a February deal.
Yeah. I guess before we wrap up shop for the Game Week 25 edition, we're going to do one or two specific predictions for the week. I'm going to start with James Ward-Prowse getting an assist.
Let's see. I'm going to go with the Stoke outside back, Bauer, netting an assist.
Okay. And then one more. Let's do a score line for the Tottenham-Manchester United match. I'm going to go with I want to play it safe, but I get a little creative. I'm going to go with 2-2.
I'm going to go with my heart and not my head and say 2-1 Spurs, being driven by the Wembley factor.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode of FPL 360. You can find me, Sean Sullivan, on Twitter at Sean_Sullivan_1. Chuck, where can they find you?
They can also find me on Twitter at Chuck Booth Sport.
Also, make sure to check out my column over at Roto World Premier League. With that said, that does it for this week. Any questions, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. And best of luck with the Green Arrows.